evidence for one of these nomadic tribes that settled in northern Mesopotamia at the city of Mari, which we will discuss in some detail later on, shows that even though they were nomadic, there were frequent contacts between these groups and settled cultures. The contacts were not necessarily military. In fact, the nomadic troops and tribes brought their flocks to pasture near the area of cities, so they would provide resources for the cities, presumably in return for what the cities could offer them. The deserts were, until the first millennium, when camels were used frequently, they were an effective and safe border for Mesopotamia. So it offered almost as much of a secure border as the mountains to the east and the north did. In the south were marshlands that covered most of the southernmost region of Mesopotamia. And this is where the rivers emptied and met with the mouth of the Persian Gulf. This area is somewhat exotic to us today. We know that there was settled life there and that the people in the marshlands lived in reed huts that were built on islands. They were surrounded by waterland, and their main profession, as you can imagine, would be fishing. It's a little hard to know what their lifestyle was. We do not have many texts that describe them. But we know that it was a rich area and one that had very significant contacts with the rest of Mesopotamia. So they, if nothing else, could provide trading links that would move down into the Persian Gulf. The geography that I've described creates a land that can support, in the plains, large cities surrounded by agricultural fields, especially in southern Mesopotamia. And this combination of urban and agricultural ways of life encouraged and promoted this idea of a consistent Mesopotamian culture that we discussed last time, was seen with the worship of the same gods. The same lifestyle also encourages a consistency throughout the area. This is going to continue even through whatever political overthrow we may see in the course, and the same ways of life continue. One of the important distinctions between regions of Mesopotamia was the ease or difficulty of access to water. So you can imagine, as I discussed the deserts, that would create a much different way of life than we saw in the plains, in the area between the Tigris and the Euphrates. And this is true in other areas as well. In the northeast, rainfall usually supports enough agriculture to allow a community to supply itself. But of course, rainfall is not always reliable. Further south, in central and southern Mesopotamia, an artificial water supply was necessary. And this was supplied by irrigation from the two rivers, the Tigris and especially the Euphrates River. These rivers begin in Armenia and come through the Taurus Mountains from the north and run out to the Persian Gulf. The Tigris River is about 1,150 miles long. It's a faster river, it's straighter, and it has a deeper riverbed that made it much more difficult to exploit with irrigation canals. So, for example, the deeper riverbed meant that water had to be lifted over a high riverbank rather than simply dug into the side and drained out. The Tigris was not exploited for irrigation canals until the Assyrians developed enough technology, perhaps most importantly, enough manpower, that they would use the Tigris River. And remember, they were active in the early first millennium BC. The Euphrates is a longer river. It's about 1,700 miles long, much slower, has a much more gentle gradient with numerous turns and zigzags. So this means there are offshoots of the Euphrates that can also be used to increase agriculture. It has a much lower bank that makes it very easy to cut into for irrigation ditches and canals.